Good morning. This is Warren Unsicker with Four Corners Economic Development. And my pleasure to be hosting the KSJE DJ for the an hour. So I am here with a couple guests that I am pleased to have that are going to be talking to us about regionalism. As many of you may well know, we just hosted a four-state and many-tribe regional summit, or forum, as it were, a week or so back. And we're excited to kind of talk a little bit more about regionalism and why it's a priority for our area here and how it might be able to help us as we're moving forward to create a more vibrant future for the entire region, and especially for us here in San Juan County. So with that, I want to introduce my two co-hosts, so to speak, and my guests. To start with, I'll introduce Cheryl. Cheryl with Region 5 from Minnesota. Welcome on the line.
Thank you, Warren. Pleasure to be here. Appreciate the invitation.
Absolutely. If you wouldn't mind just giving a little brief overview about who you are and what you do, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Sure. Again, my name is Cheryl Hills. I'm the Executive Director of Region 5 Development Commission, and we are a unit of government in state statute in the state of Minnesota, and we serve five counties in the center of the state. And so our region is about 162,000 folks, and our organization does a lot by way of community development, so local foods and renewable energy and broadband and et cetera. And then we do a lot in a way of economic development around lending. We have five lending programs. And then transportation is a big part of our work. And then we have some other work that we do with nonprofits and leadership development. But that's the quick and dirty explanation of who Region 5 is, Warren.
Perfect. Great brief synopsis. And then likewise, I have Jeff Kiley with the Northwest New Mexico Council of Governments, or the Northwest New Mexico COG. Jeff, welcome to the line.
Thank you, Warren. Good morning.
And Jeff here was one of our co-chairs and co-conspirators of the Four State Regional Forum, and we greatly appreciate having him on the line as well. And Jeff, do you want to tell everyone a little bit more about what you do there at the COG?
Sure, Warren. And I'm sort of a sister agency to Cheryl's Regional Commission in Minnesota. We are regional planning councils of a sort. Across the country, we have about 400 of us that serve especially rural and small-town America. And in New Mexico, we have seven of us. In New Mexico, we're called councils of governments. Sometimes we're referred to as economic development districts, which are designations by the federal government, by Economic Development Administration, whereby they work with us on economic development planning in our regions. So we very similarly cover a broad range of community and economic development disciplines in our region. Again, every region is a little bit different because of its constituency, because of the makeup of the region, how towns and cities and counties and tribes are all sort of coexisting in these regions and how they work together. And so our role is to facilitate all kinds of planning work and implementation and action work, as Cheryl does in her region. And in Northwest New Mexico, we serve Cibola, McKinley, and San Juan counties in the northwest quadrant of our state. And we have very close working relationships, of course, with you, Warren, at Four Corners Economic Development, as well as with our economic development partners in McKinley and Cibola counties.
Perfect. And we are most grateful for all the assistance and work that Jeff does with us here. And just to kind of give people a little bit of background and insight into why we're talking about regionalism today, as I was mentioned, for those that didn't have an opportunity to come to it or didn't necessarily hear about it, the Four Corners Future Forum was hosted on November 1st and 2nd. It was a 1.5-day summit or working session, really, that hosted folks from not only all four states here in the Four Corners region, but likewise from numerous tribes from around the region. And the gist and reasoning behind that was to bring all of these constituents together to talk about how we work toward a more vibrant future and opportunity for us to be more collaborative moving forward with some of the broader kind of overarching goals for the region. Now, obviously, we still have opportunities to attract businesses to each individual region, and we'll still have vested interest in different things, but there are some overlap and synergies that we have been privy to, but not necessarily taken full advantage of in leveraging between all the different regions to make sure that we are moving in concert toward a vibrant future for our region. And so, of course, likewise, we've all faced similar changes and buffeting in the wind of energy change recently. And so we are doing our utmost to try and bring everyone together to talk about that, put everything on the table, kind of bring everyone's toys to the table, lay them all out, and see how they all fit together. And so with that, I wanted to share a little bit more with the San Juan County area and our guests today about what regionalism looks like, why it's important, and how it can benefit our region as a whole. So with that, Jeff, if you want to touch on anything I may have overlooked in as regards to our summit and the forum and how it went, please do fill in the gaps if you have any.
Well, Warren, across the country, communities have been experiencing just what you were talking about, which is changes in the energy industry that directly affect individuals and families and communities in those areas. In particular, one of the big changes has been a downturn in the coal economy. So we've been hearing in news briefs for the last several years about changes in that industry, but most recently, even deeper impacts. Change. Sometimes they are mines shutting down or power plants shutting down due to the decreased demand for coal, due to environmental regulation that places constraints and costs on that industry, and based on a whole new movement toward other alternative forms of energy. So, In relation to that, several communities, starting in the Appalachian region back east, were targeted with some federal funding under an intergovernmental agency initiative called, and they got some power grant funding into West Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, et cetera, to assist communities to address the impacts of these changes in their core industry, and to look forward to the future and see how are we going to be viable going into the future. And many of us who have worked at the national level as well worked with the Congress to expand the program to include states and regions west of the Mississippi River, and in northwest New Mexico, we were among the first to get a power grant to take a look at our situation in the Four Corners region. And so we had a grant go to San Juan College to help them upgrade their training technology, as well as to retrain dislocated workers. And then at the COG, we received a grant to take an in-depth look at the region and to assess the impacts on our economy of these changes in the coal industry. So this forum was sort of an extension or a moving into the future from all of that work, all of that study. And so we're looking at how do we come together as a region, since many of our communities have been impacted, how do we gather together as a region to diversify our economy, to look at what aspects of the coal industry will remain and for how long they might remain, how do we continue to build upon the physical and the human and the natural assets that that our legacy in the region, et cetera. And so that was some of the underpinning of how we got into this.
Perfect. And you mentioned, you know, the impacts of these jobs that are in the coal industry and the energy industry. And, you know, it's easy, I think, for sometimes for people that are not necessarily directly affected by those jobs to maybe dismiss or not understand how impactful it is to the region as a whole. But what is oftentimes forgotten is that, you know, these are families that shop at local stores, that are patronizing local businesses, that own homes in the area, that, you know, are traveling hither, thither, and on spending their money around the region. And so it has far-reaching effect, not just for our region or our state, but for the other states as well. And so it's something for everyone to kind of keep in mind that, you know, there's much more far-reaching effect than just one person, you know, not necessarily having a job or having to shift their career path. And so, as you mentioned, it's very important that we keep a keen eye on what's happening in that sector and how we can be prepared and working towards diversification in the region so that when energy fluctuates, we are not caught off guard and left holding the bag, so to speak. I'm going to pass it off to you, Cheryl. If you wouldn't mind kind of talking a little bit about what prompted your regional efforts and how that came about.
Sure. Thanks, Warren. And great explanation, Jeff. And congratulations on the Power Grant. Congratulations on the amazing summit that you all worked so hard to put on. I thought it was a great opportunity to talk about regional approaches to addressing critical issues. And so, yeah, the reality is that our region was facing some economic and environmental issues, and not necessarily in the same industry, obviously, as the coal-reliant communities, just you guys in the Four Corners, but certainly around either taconite mining and or tourism and construction industry and some other pertinent industries that caused our region to kind of go through the same process that the Four Corners is engaged in now as a regional approach to addressing some of those shifts, those economic shifts. And I think that's what we have found through some of the work that we've done in creating a culture where people are starting to understand we are a region and that we need to work together and we can build upon the great assets of all of the partners and that we do not have to, we can have our cake and eat it too, so to speak, that we don't have to lose local control by taking regional approaches. That's helped us address several of those shifts that have happened in our region, and those, Warren, if that answers your question, were as a result of either environmental assets like the taconite mining in the Iron Range, or it was based upon other wood-based products, and sometimes it was recently, in the most recent recession, it was more so around construction industry and tourism. It doesn't really, it's not an indicator as to whether and in creating these approaches, it's more a way of addressing any sort of impacts that come your way and utilizing those resources in new ways that allow you to be reliant and sustainable and or just efficient with what you have and to survive some of those impacts.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, the sustainability, you know, I think sometimes a lot of people, you know, use that word with regards to environmental sustainability. But when we talk about it, we're looking at economic sustainability and the fact that we need an economy that is resilient and capable of being kept more or less whole through ups and downs and shifts in industry or loss of jobs as they come along the path, and likewise have diversity of industry that doesn't leave us with one big gaping hole per se. There's other things that fill the gap and that can shift and grow and shrink as things go on. So that's something, too, that we've been long evaluating is where do we diversify into. And just as a side note, I didn't mention this was a Cheryl was kind enough to serve as one of our keynotes at our summit. She actually traveled up here, down here from Minnesota to speak to our group there. And so I felt it necessary and to share a little bit more about what she shared with the smaller group there at the summit with our broader audience here, and share with the broader audience why regionalism is so important. So with that too, we, as Four Corners Economic Development, viewed this as a strategic priority for us, being able to work with our regional partners to find ways to diversify our region and likewise build on the assets that we have to potentially draw more attention to this region, because we're stronger together and we have a broader voice and brand to sell to the nation and to international businesses as the Four Corners. Because, you know, even with Farmington or San Juan, there are numerous Farmingtons throughout the nation. There's several San Juans, both nationally and internationally. And so, but the Four Corners stands as something that is unique. And so we stand to be able to gain from that collective branding effort of this region as a whole and some of the assets that we have to market, and likewise opportunities to work together towards larger funding opportunities and opportunities with our federal delegations from all the several regions. This is, again, Warren Unsicker, CEO of Four Corners Economic Development, and I'm a pleasure to be hosting today here at KSJE's DJ for a Day. And so with that, we're back with myself and Cheryl Lee Hills from Region 5 Minnesota and Jeff Kiley with the Northwest New Mexico COG talking about regionalism and how it can help affect our economic future here in the Four Corners region. Jeff, we were talking a little bit during the break about the summit itself and some of the results that we hope to have come out of that. And I wanted to see kind of what your feel was from the crowd and the group that we had from all the four states and the tribes that were there, and talk a little bit about what the forum looked like from that regard.
You bet, Warren. Well, we were very pleased to have over 140 people participate, many of whom hung in there for the entire time, including the optional session at the end of the forum to talk about implementation steps going forward. We even had people raising their hands saying, I want to lead that, or I want to be on that working team, or I want to form up a committee on that subject and things like that. So I think that this forum really was an opportunity for people to hear from each other about what they were looking at going forward, what the challenges were, what some of the strategies are for a long-term process of collaborative development in the region. And I felt like we were able to achieve that sort of momentum through this forum. Just real quickly, a bunch of years ago, we commissioned another study that took a look at energy, economy, and the environment in the San Juan Basin. And it was a very, very good report, well received by those, the drafts of it that were received by those in positions of authority. But they were very hesitant to put it into a public process because of so much mistrust around the horn on these sort of really critical issues for our economy. So I saw this forum here in early November as being a really, really important gateway to an ongoing conversation. We actually did talk about some tough issues, but we did it in a civil environment, in a civil setting. Everybody was constructive. Everybody is willing to talk about some of the differences of opinion and differences of ideas. So I felt like we really made some progress in that respect.
Absolutely. Well, and to clarify, too, this was not a typical conference that you're used to where you go and you listen to various different keynotes and breakout sessions and come back with, everybody singing Kumbaya and feeling good about themselves and then go home and everything remains the same. This was truly a working session. We had breakouts on the first day where we broke out into various different industry sectors to talk shop about what we in each region are looking to accomplish and what takeaways we'd like to see for us from a regional perspective. And that collaborative discussion, this facilitated discussion that occurred in each of these breakouts, has given us a lot of insight into where we have synergies, where we have opportunities together to work towards a more vibrant future together. And so, again, this was something that was set up to be interactive, set up to be inclusive, and to really bring people in and let their voices be heard. And likewise, that's not the end goal. It wasn't just to, hey, collect that information, call it good, and off we go. It's really an ongoing effort. This was just the first step into a broader regional initiative. You mentioned the people that at the end of the summit were raising their hands, ready to dive all in. That's really the end goal of this, is to engage an accountability group that's going to be working with the various different four states and the tribes to help accomplish some of these goals that were identified in these various different industry sectors across the region.
You bet. And I'm thinking of the comments of Tom Taylor, of course, Farmington's former mayor and former member of the House of Representatives. When he was talking about things going forward, he has a tremendous perspective about how lifting all boats, or lifting one boat, or helping communities in outlying rural areas or in other states of the Four Corners region or in other counties, other tribal areas and so on, developments in those areas do lift all boats and do help the entire region benefit and help Farmington itself benefit, or Durango or Gallup, as the case may be. And I thought that was a very good perspective. I thought that having perspective also from Cheryl from her Minnesota experience was really important. So we didn't place a premium on, like you said, lots and lots of outside speakers, but we felt that Cheryl was somebody that we could really relate to because of the way in which a regional organization and now a regional network of people can work together and can begin to attract new resources and investments into an area that may have been overly dependent on one or two industries in the past.
Absolutely. And Cheryl, did you have any takeaways or insights from some of the interactivity that occurred there at the summit? I know that you all went to some great lengths to be inclusive and to bring people to the table, but any insights or takeaways from being there at the summit?
Well, there were quite a few. I think overall, I would say just extremely impressed. And we walked away, both Arlene Jones, who runs our local food hub, was in attendance as well, and co-presented with me. The takeaway that we kept thinking is, wow, there's just so much wonderful potential here. And all of the stakeholders are doing great work in their respective communities and in their sometimes areas of expertise and or silos. The opportunities to start to think about how to integrate some of that and leverage each other's work in new ways was just so exciting, Warren. It was almost like you watching a blossom start to unfold, and it was really quite impressive because there are a lot of committed folks and a lot of expertise in the Four Corners area. And I think Arvin sort of said it eloquently, is that at that when he was speaking, is that there was opportunities for us to think beyond what we've done in the past. And that was the takeaway. And I also walked away with some feeling of real comfort that you have the ability and the commitment from the partners like Jeff and yourself and others to coordinate this work, because frankly there's a lot of work engaged and involved with coordinating different sectors and different areas of work that it just takes a lot of dedication and a lot of commitment. And I have been to areas of the nation where there was a fear of sharing information. There is a fear of, losing a kingdom, so to speak, and did not want to think about the opportunities to do work together. And that those were areas I knew would would be very difficult to move past to change their future in ways with some innovative new approaches. And so to answer your question, we just walked away thinking there's so much opportunity. You have the right people. You have the right mentality about being inclusive and engaging a broad stakeholder base. That was impressive. So we were very, very hopeful that you've got some great things in front of you for your future, Warren.
Perfect.
If that answers your
question. That more than answered. And thank you so much again for your insight and being at the table for that process. And you mentioned Arvin Trujillo with Arizona Public Service Company was one of our third co-chairs between myself and Jeff. And want to thank them and others that sponsored this event too. Beyond having a constituent buy-in that it showed up, we did have several people that financially supported this endeavor. APS being one of them. Organization Four Corners Economic Development and the COG likewise. And then San Juan College served as our host and silver sponsor, as well as Region 9 from Colorado. And then the City of Farmington and Navajo Transitional Energy Company were our bronze sponsors. And likewise, we had two community sponsors in Citizens Bank and Positive Energy Solar. So again, a broad constituency of folks that supported this event. And so on an ongoing basis, we are going to be expanding the net, so to speak, of bringing more people into this vision and this process. But as a next step, too, we are wanting to try and make sure we bring in the federal delegations with regards to how they can help some of these initiatives that have been identified come to fruition. And Jeff, do you want to touch a little bit on that? Because I know that you've had some interactions with some of those folks and some conversations with regard to their interest level in that.
You bet, Warren, and as a little bit of a backdrop to this, you know, one of the thoughts that our federal partners had had even a year ago about the need to have a summit or a forum or a working conference in the region, some of the original thoughts were that, you know, the federal government and its agents would come out and present their programs and say you can apply for funding here and apply for funding there, and our collective in the Four Corners said, we don't think that's the starting point. The starting point is to get ourselves together and talk about what our vision is and what our perspectives are and what kind of strategies we would like to see, what kind of investments we think will help move the region forward. And maybe some of our federal and state partners can join us in that conversation, kind of listen in, hear what we have to say. And then maybe as a follow-up meeting, we gather those federal and state officials together, including our congressional delegations, and we say, well, here's what we came up with. Here's where we think it would be most effective to target state and federal investments, as well as to start looking at leveraging private and philanthropic sector investments in our region as well. And so that's what we're moving toward now, is to get our report together, which is being worked on right now, and to begin to convene such a meeting with our partners, investment partners, you might call them. And also, to piggyback on what Cheryl was saying, many of us felt like this forum helped us reach the starting line. So many of us may have wanted to feel like, well, I'm glad that's over, but most of us felt that, no, we just got to the starting line now. We have a whole kind of path forward to follow. And in that light, we are wanting to kind of put together a sort of a consortium of very active civic and public and private sector leaders in the region to continue to move this forward, to carry the ball forward, so to speak. And I think Tom Taylor said it best when he said, let's decide what we wanted to go to do and who we are, and then we can structure what it looks like to make things work. And that's kind of where we're at. We heard in this forum the word consortium many times, or, you know, regional council or regional this and that, like a regional manufacturing council and a higher education consortium and all those kinds of things. So that whole movement toward, I don't know if it's a verb or not, consortiuming, this whole idea of gathering together around these common frameworks of action, I'm pretty excited about it going forward.
You know, let me riff off that for 2 seconds, Warren.
Perfect.
The reason that that is so important is because, and then Tom and Jeff's approach, and one of the reasons I was so optimistic, and Arlene as well, when we left, is because we have a clear understanding that this will be driven from your partners and from people who represent individuals of communities, diverse communities of the Four Corners area. It's your plan. It's your approach with your own guiding principles. So the fact that you didn't bring in folks to say, here's all the programs and here's the money, which has happened in some of the other federal platforms and models that are deployed, but you don't, that causes a reaction of wanting to chase dollars, and it's not strategic, right? It doesn't align with what those principles might be from the people of the region. And so while it might have felt like it was a really elementary step in kind of getting you to the starting plate, it was really important because the message is clear in this part of the nation that this will be driven by local stakeholders and local partners and not federal resources. And not just, it's, you're not going to chase a butterfly because it's pretty. It's going to be something that is strategic and is part of, that is embraced by stakeholders of this consortium that you'll create. And so that was really important first step. So I don't want to undermine the fact, sometimes as planning organizations, folks will say, well, you plan to plan. That was the most important first step to be able to engaging other partners later and leveraging dollars the way we've been successful in doing in central Minnesota. $44 million couldn't have come to us over a short period of time had we not done that very important first step that you guys did. So I just wanted to add to Jeff's comments that it was a pretty important step, and it will pay dividends coming in the future when you start to think about how partnerships need to be created to actually get the work done, right, on the street that make a difference to people's lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we did have a few of our federal delegates there from various different agencies. I know we had the EPA, the BIA, the BLM, and a few others. And so they were likewise duly impressed and excited about the efforts that we were putting forth, and at least the feedback I received. And so I think we have, again, set the table with some high hopes and high impressed and excited what's going to come next and what's going to come out of this and moving forward. So I think we are well positioned to kind of move forward that. But like as you mentioned, we're kind of in that chrysalis stage. We're trying to turn into the pretty butterfly and not chase them. So,
Great. And I think an important part of that conversation that I also heard was that the region doesn't have to necessarily give up on coal as part of your, a base part of your energy production and part of your economy. It's talking about that diversification and making sure that you can withstand changes within that industry and that communities aren't felt hostage and or somewhat as victims to any one industry. And so that approach was not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It's just making sure that there were options for retooling, retraining, and for employment, viable employment for families and folks. So that was really important part of the principles that I've referred to a minute ago, is that it was a yes and. It wasn't necessarily that you were going to either or.
And I appreciate you clarifying that, because I think that sometimes people hear diversification and think that we're just running away, you know, as fast as we can from what we've always known, but it's by no means that. By no means are we turning our back on the base industries that we've always known here in this region. It really is an insulation and a creation of stability for the economy,
right,
moving forward, no matter what happens. And so that's really the key. It is not a turning back on what is here. It really is adding to and creating stability around, because that's going to bolster them as well and provide them stability as well from an economic perspective. And so they'll always know that workforce will be here instead of migrating and leaving and going elsewhere, because they know they've got
right.
something to fall back on, or something here that they can look toward as alternatives. So that really is crucial. And likewise, too, it creates sustainability for keeping people here, that as they graduate from high school and from college and, you know, get their degrees here from San Juan or from Fort Lewis and others, that they want to be here because they know there's opportunity. And so that's going to be a long range, be very important, especially if you want to have your family stick around. And you know, I know my parents bemoan the fact that I'm no longer up there in Alaska where I'm from. So, you know, I'm a transplant to this area and loving it. But that's something, too, that brain drain effect that you can control and kind of dampen it when you do have opportunities in the area. Well, Jeff, any other parting words on federal delegations and how they're going to be helping us moving forward? I know we've got high hopes. You mentioned the 44 million, Cheryl. I mean, that is one aspect of what we're hoping to accomplish is funding. But, Jeff, any other comments on that?
Just that the Economic Development Administration has been looking very, very carefully at this because they have a whole national office now devoted to what they call economic development integration. And so they're learning as we are learning about how do they participate now in a new way in regions? How do they take the lead from local and regional stakeholders? And then how do they help us to piece together resources that meet those strategies and those needs? And so I think that's a very positive thing. We hope to get them the report and have some very intentional conversations with them about how they can help us move forward. We also know that there is some interest in creating what you might call the Four Corners voice, whether that takes the form of a regional commission again or in whatever form it takes, but to get all eight United States senators on board in support of the Four Corners as a sort of an economic region, all that kind of thing is kind of on the horizon for us going forward.
Perfect. And that is true, that legislative voice that it affords our region is in my opinion, monumental and really does kind of bring us to the table in a whole new way that is, I think, more impactful and hopefully it can accomplish some bigger, broader goals for the region. So thank you, Jeff, for kind of quantifying and one of the next step options that we're looking at is really engaging that federal level. This is Warren Unsicker with Four Corners Economic Development, and you're joining us here on KSJE's DJ for a Day. And I want to thank KSJE again for hosting us. They're a great organization. It's always a pleasure to be on their station. I do want to mention they are a member-driven organization just like us at Four Corners, and we want to encourage you to support this great agency and station. You can visit them at www.ksje.com to find out more about how you can support them. And thank you again, Scott, for hosting us here. And again, Cheryl, welcome, and thank you so much for sharing more about what you've been doing up there in Minnesota. And we did have to say farewell to Jeff over the break there, but we were pleased to have him, and I think he gave us some great insight on the federal level that we're working on right now.
Surely. Yeah, he did. He was saying as he was leaving and talking a little bit about federal partners, trying to, you know, understand how regions can work more effectively and how they can utilize their resources more effectively. I think you guys are at a great advantage point of teaching them a few lessons about how to do that, specifically around engagement and bringing folks together that maybe traditionally haven't been part of these kinds of consortiums. And the reason that I think that's pretty important is to make sure that you're addressing literally the benefactors, i.e. our residents and our companies, in terms of, you know, what they need to be have a quality of life and a thriving business and provide jobs and a place that we want. And so I love that, you know, the engagement from, yes, elected officials, which is important, and programmatic folks who have funding to support our ideas, but making sure that we are grounding all of that with residents who are the recipients, the intended benefactors of these programs and services is pretty critical. And so I appreciate that you guys are focusing on that. And it certainly, Warren, has helped us in central Minnesota. I think as we look back as a group of over 600 people that have been engaged in our work for several years, a core team of about 70 or so that meet quarterly still as leaders of the region and those that have resources are very intentional about making sure that we are listening to students and to businesses and to low-income residents and those that have not been engaged in different industries in the past as we do this diversification. And so making sure communities of color are engaged and or our tribal neighbors and friends are engaged in some of these programs and offerings has been really intentional, and it takes a ton of extra effort and time, but it does create the kind of impacts when we talk about measuring impacts that we really, really care about. So, of course, we care about some of the things that our federal and state partners, like jobs created and, you know, dollars leveraged and some of those things that are very typical. If it's in the space of transportation, it's usually miles. If it's in the space of agriculture, it's pounds and new markets, et cetera, this typical stuff. But when it all comes down to it, folks in the community will say, what I care about is this is a safe place for my children and that they have the same sort of resources in the next several generations. And so we have to be thinking about, you know, those impacts as well. So we have a tendency, through that listening of our residents and our other partners, making sure that we're not just measuring the same standards and the same measurements, that we are thinking about social impacts and we are thinking about political changes that allow us to have the diversification that you're talking about, and that we are thinking about how are we preserving our cultures, because that's important to people.
Absolutely.
And it's important that they should pass that on, right? It doesn't matter if you're in Alaska or in Four Corners or in central Minnesota. Your culture is important to you, and that's those are other impacts, and that's one of the reasons that engagement of that broad base is so important, so you don't lose that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, and it's encouraging here because, you know, we, of course, as economic developers, we are focused a lot of times on those jobs and those dollars. But when it comes right down to it, when you're building the base that you need to attract those businesses and to keep the workforce here and to build into the community feel, it's imperative that you have the engagement of the community as a whole, because otherwise you're just fighting against a tide that is going too many different other directions and pulling down or, you know, up or, you know, any direction that you can possibly think of. And so it really is crucial that we do have that community engagement. And, you know, that is something, too, that as we continue on with this process, we're going to be drawing in from a broader and broader audience to try and engage them and help them understand what's trying to be accomplished. And so that is a third kind of phase in our process. We are going to hold more of a formal conference, as it were, that brings in the broader area, the region, its constituents to come and just kind of get a feel for what regionalism is and how they can get engaged in it and really get involved in making a difference for the region as a whole. Because, you know, and that's the, you know, one of the things that I've always kind of harped on from an economic development perspective is that holistic approach to building the base and the kind of the soft landing for a business that wants to come into this area. Because if they don't see and buy into the brand and the feel and the community and the culture of an area, they're not necessarily going to stay very long, or they may not be able to attract the workforce they need. And so it really is imperative moving forward that we have that from our constituents and from our residents here in this area.
And it can sound very kumbaya, no doubt, that, you know, that it is about, and it definitely can sound extremely progressive, but it has been extremely, again, as we look back on the work that we've done in the last 5 or 6 years, to say that approach and it has created the trust that we needed in order to leverage resources and to bring not about just attraction of companies, but and new opportunities, but to build up from within, you know, to grow our own entrepreneurial activity and to work on some really tough issues around broadband or affordable housing or food insecurity and food sovereignty. And so those bigger issues really allowed us to build the relationships that we needed to coordinate some of this impact that we talk about. And I was in Menards the other day picking up some lumber for a building we're working on my property. And the young man that checked me out said, "Hey, Cheryl, you know, what's going on with that resilient region stuff you're still doing? And how can I get back involved? I just got back to the region." And I thought, wow, that's amazing. I mean, I didn't know this young man's name, but it was really great that he remembered this was a place that his voice is important, and he came back. And he's looking at starting his own company and working at Menards until he brings, you know, gets a little more capital built up. And so I thought, wow, that's a real cool story around how people know this is a place where they can be engaged, even though they might not think that they have some sort of expertise. your worldview is your expertise in our book. And so that it can sound as, again, squishy, but Warren, it's led to so many real projects. I mean, whether it's been advancement of solar and jobs for the students that have come out of our tribal colleges, and or it's been real multi-million dollar housing projects for affordable housing, and it certainly has been millions of dollars that have been leveraged around local foods and accessing local foods and using that as a tourism opportunity as well, while we're putting money into growers and ranchers' pockets, right?
Right,
and,
absolutely.
And leveraging that with hospitals and having them work through their programs and their community intervention strategies to address health-deprived individuals, and using local foods to do some of that, to address the health-raising costs of health care, which is a burden on not only, by the way, households, but it's a burden on the systems as well.
Right.
So those are real kinds of work, you know, that has happened as a result of these relationships. When the state shut down some of the fishing for one of our tribal neighbors, the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwa, we decided, well, gosh, if there's not a fishing industry thriving here anymore, then how do we make this transportation scenic byway and add tourism and bring in, you know, snowmobilers in the winter and more fishing tournaments in the summer that are not walleye dependent? And so there are some other approaches that we've taken. Again, as a result of unique players sitting at the table that weren't there before. But I think that's the approach I see you guys taking, right, Warren, is to kind of get to those points where you can say, hey, what's this new crazy idea and how do we get there and who can help us?
Right, exactly. And you know, it really does play into the fact that we have so many assets here. We may just not be fully realizing the full potential of those assets, both locally and regionally, that we could be really, again, pooling our assets. And you mentioned, you know, agriculture and food. You know, there's so many unique foodstuffs here. You know, there's and such a food culture for this region and agricultural product. Production both in Colorado and in Arizona and New Mexico. You know, the Navajo agricultural products, 72,000 acres of irrigated land that they're producing some amazing things, you know. And you mentioned tourism. You know, we are an international jewel that people just don't necessarily put all the pieces together, literally, of the four corners that they could be taking advantage of coming to this area. You know, you could start in one corner and work your way all the way around and have a truly phenomenal experience that is one of a kind that you can't find anywhere else in the world. And so those kinds of things that we just need to build upon and get more engagement in and create businesses around is right there at our fingertips, and we just have to really capitalize and take credence of what we have as an opportunity.
Yep, and it's one baby step at a time. I mean, it really for us started with, okay, you know, there's an elephant in front of us. We have a lot of opportunities that we could capitalize on. Where do we even start? And we literally let partners create their own sort of projects and then move those forward simultaneously across the region while other folks were working on other areas. And so it can seem daunting, but if you take one bite at a time, right, then you then you can consume it. And so I think that's the approach, is to say it can seem daunting, but there certainly is a lot of, as you said, a jewel. The Four Corners is a jewel. And to be able to take that regional approach and go to all four states, what an untapped opportunity. I know in Wisconsin they did something very similar, and I never in my wildest dreams, I will tell you, wanted to go to Wisconsin. Like, other than, you know, cheese, I mean, what is there? I mean, I just, and I'm sorry to all the folks in Wisconsin who might be hearing this, but it just wasn't on my bucket list to go to Wisconsin. And so until they did this regional branding approach around, and they and wove in culture and some arts and some other really fun stuff, and I went there and spent a weekend doing this big region, not unlike the Four Corners, had a phenomenal time, and took my family back later, my adult children. It was a blast. And so I do think there's lots of opportunities. And until I went to The Four Corners, I'd been in parts of all those states, but not that area of our nation, and I found it to be phenomenally gorgeous. And yeah, you've got a lot of opportunity in that space, but it can also be done. People will say, but tourism are low-paid, you know, not high-paid, high-demand jobs, and, you know, that's not going to get us out of this economic issues that we're having, and particularly when people are skilled and they're used to making good incomes and high-paid jobs in by way of the coal industry. I think there are a lot of other opportunities in addition to the tourism approach you can take. And branding your region that allow, and as you stated, Warren, so well, that allow people to want to come back there and enjoy that as part of their daily lives, and bring their families there and start companies and start opportunities and work together. I will say that this work has created some interesting fellowships in our region that would beyond our wildest dreams, where housing projects would now be putting, you know, solar on, and or healthcare providers would be working with agriculture, and our region has been extremely successful in getting broadband to the last mile, which we know is critically important for, obviously, economic development, but health, you know, lifelong learning, educational opportunities, and aging in place in terms of health, health care. So there's lots of work around broadband and justification of doing it. We've been extremely successful, leveraged over $10 million to date to just get broadband to those rural areas that did not have it before. And so that's been really powerful for us to see all these sort of cogs in the wheel turning at the same time. Has been the approach that we frankly stole from places like Michigan and others that had done this work better than we had before, this regional approach. So kudos to you guys for taking that regional, again, approach and strategies to doing more of the great work that's already being done in parts of the Four Corners, right?
Perfect. Well, thank you. And we do appreciate that. And it's good to hear, too, the interconnectivity of these things, too. You know, it isn't just like, oh, well, you've done, you know, one thing and it only affects that one thing, you know, the agriculture affecting the healthcare and the, internet connectivity, connecting to education and all these things that are interwoven and really do, again, create that holistic, you know, approach that does create that beautiful landing place for businesses and for workforce and for people to stay there. So we've only got a couple more minutes left. I wanted to just, one, thank you again and see if you had any more just kind of parting words for us as we continue in our regional efforts and work towards a more vibrant future together as a region.
Not much, Warren. I want to thank you very much for inviting me and help. And it's been a pleasure getting to know some folks there. I think the only parting words would be don't give up. I mean, your families and your residents are worth this. And it's an important part of our nation's economy. It's an important part of our global economy. And so don't give up. And when it gets wonky, and it will, and when it gets difficult, keep reaching out to other folks and learn from them and their mistakes. And make your own mistakes, because we all make them, but learn from those and move on. And I think that's, I'm really just proud of you guys' efforts. And it gives us, frankly, it gives our regional champions, when I tell them about what's going on in the Four Corners, it definitely inspires us to continue to try to do our work daily, because frankly, I'm thinking you guys are going to kick our tails anytime soon as you continue. So we got to keep our journey moving as well. And thank you for that inspiration.
Well, though, and thank you again for lending some inspiration to us and some credibility to the work that we're doing here. You know, again, we view this as important work and something that is critical to our future as a region, as here in New Mexico too. And the collaboration between us, the four states, and all the tribes that make up this area, it is crucial to have them all at the table. And so we want to make sure everyone's voice is heard. And so you've helped us a long way in helping get that collective voice together. So. With that, Cheryl, thank you so much again. We look forward to our continued work with you, and let us know if there's anything, too, we can do for you.
Learning from you every day. So thanks much, Warren. Warmest regards.
Thank you. Excellent. Thank you. And thanks, everyone. And thank you again to KSGE for allowing us this hour today. And we look forward to continuing to bring all the news in the Four Corners about economic development and what's happening here.